3924, verses 7 and 8. And she conceived again, and Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, bare a second son to Jacob. And Rachel said, With the wrestlings of God have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. And she called his name Naphtali. And she conceived again, and Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, bare. Signifies here as before reception and acknowledgement. A second son to Jacob signifies a second general truth. And Rachel said, With the wrestlings of God have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. Signifies in the supreme sense proprial power, in the internal sense temptation in which there is victory, in the external sense resistance by the natural man. And she called his name Naphtali, signifies its quality. 3925. And she conceived again, and Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, bare. That this signifies reception and acknowledgement is evident from the signification of conceiving as being reception, and from the signification of bearing as being acknowledgement, number 3319, and also from the signification of handmaid as being a subserving means, number 3913, 3917. For the subject here is a second general means that is of service for the conjunction of the internal man with the external. 3926. A second son to Jacob. That this signifies a second general truth is evident from the signification of a son as being truth. See number 489, 491, 533, 1147. That the signification here is a general truth is evident from what has been said above concerning the 12 sons of Jacob and the 12 tribes named from them as being the general things of the church, and accordingly the general things of faith and love, or of truth and good, which are signified and represented by them. And that in the opposite sense are also meant general things not of faith and love, but all things of falsity and evil, will appear hereafter. 3927. And Rachel said, With the wrestlings of God have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. That this signifies in the supreme sense proprial power, in the internal sense temptation in which there is victory, and in the external sense resistance by the natural man, is evident from the signification of the wrestlings of God and of wrestling as being temptations. For temptations are nothing else than wrestlings of the internal man with the external, or of the spiritual man with the natural. For each desires to rule, and when dominion is in question, combat arises, which is here called wrestling. That to prevail is to overcome is evident without explication. That in the supreme sense these words signify proprial power is because the Lord, when he was in the world and in the human there, sustained all temptations from his proprial power and conquered from his proprial power. Differently from every man, who never sustains any spiritual temptation and conquers in it from his proprial power, for it is the Lord who sustains and conquers within him. See what has been stated and shown on these subjects before, namely, that the Lord sustained the most grievous temptations beyond all others, numbers 1663, 1668, 1690, 1737, 1787, 1789, 1812, 1813, 1815, 1820, 2776, 2786, 2795, 2813, 2816, 3318. That the Lord combated and conquered from his proprial power, number 1616, 1692, 1813, 3381. And that the Lord alone combats in man, number 1692. That in the internal sense the wrestlings of God and prevailing denote the temptations in which man conquers is evident from what has been said just above. But that in the external sense there is signified resistance by the natural man is because all temptation is nothing else. For as before said, in spiritual temptations there is dispute about dominion, as to which shall have the supremacy, the internal man or the external, or what is the same, the spiritual man or the natural. For these are opposed to each other, number 3913. For when man is in temptations, his internal or spiritual man is ruled by the Lord through angels, but his external or natural man through infernal spirits. and the combat between them is that which is perceived by the man as temptation. When a man is such in faith and life that he can be regenerated, he will conquer in temptations. But when he is such that he cannot be regenerated, he yields in temptations. That there is resistance by the natural man is signified by its being said that she wrestled with her sister. For by Leah, who is here the sister, is signified the affection of the external man, but by Rachel, the affection of the internal man. Number 3793, 3819. 3928. And she called his name Naphtali. That this signifies its quality, namely the quality of the temptation in which there is victory, and also the quality of the resistance by the natural man, is evident from the signification of name and of calling a name as being quality. See number 144, 145, 1754, 1896, 2009, 2724, 3421. The quality itself is that which is signified by Naphtali, for he was named Naphtali from wrestling. Hence also by Naphtali is represented this second general truth of the church, for temptation is the means of the conjunction of the internal man with the external, because they are at variance with each other, but are reduced to agreement and correspondence by means of temptations. The external man is indeed such that of itself it lusts for nothing else than corporeal and worldly things, these being the delights of its life. But the internal man, when it is opened toward heaven and desires the things of heaven, such as it is with those who can be regenerated, then finds celestial delight in these things. And while the man is in temptations, there is a combat between these two kinds of delight. This the man does not then know, because he does not know what celestial delight is, and what infernal delight is, and still less that they are so entirely opposed to each other. But the celestial angels cannot possibly be with man in his corporeal and worldly delight until this delight has been reduced to subservience, so that the corporeal and worldly delight is no longer sought as the end, but for the sake of the use of serving the celestial delight, as shown above, number 3913. When this has been effected, the angels can be with the man in both, but in this case his delight becomes bliss, and finally happiness in the other life. He who believes that before regeneration the delight of his natural man is not infernal, and that it is not possessed by diabolical spirits, is much mistaken, and does not know how the case is with man. Namely, that before regeneration he is possessed as to his natural man by genii and infernal spirits, however much he may appear to himself to be like any other man. And even though he may be with others in what is holy, and may reason about the truths and goods of faith, and may indeed believe himself to be confirmed in them, yet if he does not perceive in himself anything of the affection of what is just and equitable in his employment, and of truth and good in company and in life, let him know that his delight is that of the infernals, for there is no other love in it than that of self and the world. And when this love makes his delight, there is in it no charity and no faith. After this delight prevails, it is weakened and dissipated by no other means than the affirmation and acknowledgement of the holy of faith and of the good of life, which is the first means, signified by Dan, as shown above. And then by means of temptation, which is the second means, and is signified by Naphtali. For this means follows the other. For they who do not affirm and acknowledge the good and truth of faith and charity cannot come into any combat of temptation, because there is nothing within which offers resistance to the evil and falsity to which natural delight persuades. In other places in the word where Naphtali is mentioned, there is signified man's state after temptations, as in the prophecy of Jacob, then Israel. Naphtali is a hind let loose, giving sayings of elegance. Genesis 49, verse 21. Where a hind let loose denotes the affection of natural truth in the free state which exists after temptations, which state is also the quality that is in the temptations signified by Naphtali. For in temptations the struggle is concerning freedom. In like manner in the prophecy of Moses, To Naphtali he said, Naphtali is satisfied with favor and full with the blessing of Yahuwah. He shall possess the west and the south. Deuteronomy 33, verse 23. For the representations of the sons of Jacob and of the tribes are in accordance with the order in which they are named. Number 3862. And in the prophecy of Deborah and Barak, Zebulun a people that hath devoted his soul to die, and Naphtali upon the high places of the field. Judges 5, verse 18. Where also in the internal sense the combats of temptations are treated of. And the man is among those who fear nothing of evil, because they are in truths and goods, which is to be upon the high places of the field. 3929, verses 9 to 11. And Leah saw that she had stood still from bearing, and she took Zilpah her handmaid, and gave her to Jacob for a woman. And Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, bare Jacob a son. And Leah said, A troop cometh, and she called his name Gad. And Leah saw that she had stood still from bearing, signifies that no other external truths had been acknowledged. And she took Zilpah her handmaid, signifies an affirmative conjoining means, and gave her to Jacob for a woman, signifies that this affected conjunction. And Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, bare Jacob a son, signifies acknowledgement. And Leah said, A troop cometh, signifies in the supreme sense omnipotence and omniscience, in the internal sense the good of faith, and in the external sense works. And she called his name Gad, signifies its quality. 3930. And Leah saw that she had stood still from bearing. That this signifies that no other external truths had been acknowledged is evident from the representation of Leah as being external truth. See number 3793, 3819. And from the signification of bearing as being to acknowledge in faith and act. Number 3905, 3915, 3919. Hence Leah's standing still from bearing signifies in the internal sense that no other external truths had been acknowledged. 3931. And she took Zilpah her handmaid. That this signifies an affirmative conjoining means is evident from the signification of a handmaid as being an affirmative means that is of service for the conjunction of the external man with the internal. Number 3913, 3917. 3932. And gave her to Jacob for a woman. That this signifies that this means effected conjunction is evident from the signification of giving for a woman as being to conjoin. Number 3915, 3917. 3933. And Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, bare Jacob a son. That this signifies the acknowledgement of external truth is evident from the signification of bearing as being acknowledgement, from the signification of a handmaid as being an affirmative conjoining means, and from the signification of a son as being truth. Number 489, 491, 533, 1147. 3934. And Leah said, A troop cometh. That this signifies in the supreme sense omnipotence and omniscience, in the internal sense the good of faith, and in the external sense works, is evident from the signification here of a troop. And that a troop in the supreme sense is omnipotence and omniscience is because a troop here is a multitude, and when multitude is predicated of the Lord's divine, it denotes an infinite multitude, which is no other than omnipotence and omniscience. But omnipotence is predicated from the quantity which is of the magnitude, and omniscience from the quantity which is of the multitude. Omnipotence also is predicated from infinite good, or what is the same, from the divine love, and thus from the divine will. But omniscience from infinite truth, or what is the same, from the divine intelligence. That in the internal sense a troop is the good of faith is from correspondence, for to the Lord's divine omnipotence corresponds the good which is of charity, and to his omniscience the truth which is of faith. That a troop in the external sense signifies works is because these correspond to the good of faith, For the good of faith produces works, because the good of faith is not possible without works, just as thinking good and willing good are not possible without doing good. The one is the internal, and the other the corresponding external. Furthermore, in regard to works, unless they correspond to the good of faith, they are neither works of charity nor works of faith, for they do not come from their internal, but are dead works, in which there is neither good nor truth. But when they correspond, they are then works either of charity or of faith. Works of charity are those which flow from charity as from their soul, but works of faith are those which flow from faith. Works of charity exist with a regenerate man, and works of faith with him who has not yet been regenerated, but is being regenerated. The case being the same as it is with the affections of good and of truth. For the regenerate man does good from the affection of it, thus from willing good. But the man who is to be regenerated does good from the affection of truth, thus from knowing good. The nature of the difference has already been repeatedly shown. From this it is manifest what works are. Moreover, in regard to works, the good of faith is comparatively as are man's will and the derivative thought to his face, which is well known to be an image of his mind, that is, of his will and the derivative thought. If the will and thought are not presented in the face as in their image, what is seen there is not the will and thought, but hypocrisy or deceit, because the man presents a face different from that which he wills and thinks. The case is the same with every act of the body in respect to the interiors which are of the thought and will. Man's internal lives in his external by act or by acting. If the act or acting is not according to his internal, it is a proof either that it is not his internal that is producing the act, but an impulse recurring from custom and habit, or else that it is something feigned, as in hypocrisy and deceit. From this it is again manifest what works are, and from this it follows that he who makes profession of faith, and still more he who makes profession of the good of faith, and denies works, and still more if he rejects them, is devoid of faith, and yet more of charity. Such being the nature of the works of charity and faith, and as man is never in charity and faith unless he is in works, for this reason works are so frequently mentioned in the word, as may appear from the following passages. Thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of man, to give every one according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his works. Jeremiah 32, verse 19. In the same, be ye converted every one from his evil way, and make your works good. 35, verse 15. In the same, I will render to them according to their work, and according to the work of their hands. 25, verse 14. In Hosea, I will visit upon him his ways, and render to him his works. 4, verse 9. In Micah, the land shall be a desolation because of them that dwell therein, for the fruit of their works. 7, verse 13. In Zechariah, thus said Yehovah Zebaoth, be ye converted from your evil ways and from your evil works, as Yehovah Zebaoth thought to do unto us according to our ways, and according to our works, so hath he done to us. 1 verses 4 and 6. In John, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works follow with them. Revelation 14 verse 13. In the same, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things that were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and hell gave up the dead that were in them. And they were judged every one according to their works. 20 verses 12 and 13. Again, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man according to his works. Revelation 22, verse 12. In John the Evangelist, this is the judgment, that the light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, and cometh not to the light, lest his work should be reproved. But he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his works may be made manifest, because they have been wrought in God. 3:19-21. In the same, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that its works are evil. 7:7. Again, Jesus said to the Jews, If ye were Abraham's sons, ye would do the works of Abraham. Ye do the works of your father. 8:39-41. Again, If ye know these things, blessed are ye if ye do them. 13:17. In Matthew, Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Whosoever shall do and teach them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of the heavens. 5:16-19. In the same, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of the heavens, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in the heavens. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied by thy name, and by thy name have cast out demons, and in thy name done many mighty works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. 7:21-23. In Luke, the master of the house shall answer and say to them, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, We did eat and drink in thy presence, and thou didst teach in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. 13:25-27. In Matthew, Every one that heareth my words and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man. But every one that heareth my words and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man. 7:24-26. In the same, The Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he render to every man according to his works. 16:27. From these passages it is evident that works are what save man and what condemn man, that is to say, that good works save and evil works condemn. For in his works is man's will. He who wills good does good, but he who does not do good, however he may say that he wills good, still does not will it when he does not do it. This is as if he should say, I will it, but I do not will it. And because the will itself is in works, and charity is of the will, and faith is of charity, it is manifest what of the will or what of charity and faith there is in man when he does not do good works, and especially when he does the contrary or evil works. Moreover, be it known that the Lord's kingdom commences in a man from the life which is of works, for he is then in the beginning of regeneration. But when the Lord's kingdom is in a man, it terminates in works, and then the man is regenerate. For his internal man is then within his external man in correspondence therewith, and his works are of his external man, while charity and the derivative faith are of his internal man, and therefore in this case his works are charity. As the life of the internal man thus comes forth in the works of the external man, therefore the Lord in speaking of the last judgment, Matthew 25:32-46, recounts nothing but works, and says that those who have done good works shall enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil works into damnation. From what has been said, it is also evident what is signified by that which we read of John, that he lay at the breast and on the bosom of Jesus, and that Jesus loved him more than the rest. John 13:23-25, 21:20. For by John were represented good works. See the preface to the 18th and to the 22nd chapters of Genesis. What the works of faith are, which from the resemblance may also be called its fruits, and what the works of charity, will of the Lord's divine mercy be stated more fully elsewhere. 3935. And she called his name Gad. That this signifies its quality is evident from the signification of a name and of calling a name as being quality, concerning which above. The quality itself is signified by Gad, namely the quality of the good of faith and of works. By quality is signified everything whatever that is within, here within the good of faith and within works. And these are things innumerable, for the quality varies in each individual, and is also the contrary in those who are not in the good of faith, and thus not in good works, which quality is also signified by Gad when he is named in the opposite sense. When the good of faith of the internal man and the good works of the external man correspond, they, as shown above, are a third general means, which is to be acknowledged in faith and in act before a man can enter into the Lord's kingdom, that is, before he can, by regeneration, be made a church. 3936, verses 12 and 13. And Zilpha, Leah's handmaid, bare a second son to Jacob. And Leah said, In my blessedness, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher. And Zilpha, Leah's handmaid, bare a second son to Jacob, signifies the acknowledgement of the second general truth. And Leah said, In my blessedness, for the daughters will call me blessed, signifies in the supreme sense eternity, in the internal sense the happiness of eternal life, and in the external sense the delight of the affections. And she called his name Asher, signifies its quality. 3937. And Zilpha, Leah's handmaid, bare a second son to Jacob. That this signifies the acknowledgement of the second general truth is evident from the signification of bearing as being acknowledgement. See number 3911, 3915, 3919. From the signification of a handmaid as being an affirmative means that is of service for the conjunction of the external man with the internal. Number 3913, 3917. From the signification of a son as being truth, here a general truth. See number 3926. And from the representation of Jacob and of Leah, and also of Zilpha, concerning which above. This shows what is the internal sense of these words, namely, the acknowledgement of the second general truth that is of service as a means for conjoining the external man with the internal. 3938. And Leah said, In my blessedness, for the daughters will call me blessed. That this signifies in the supreme sense eternity, in the internal sense the happiness of eternal life, and in the external sense the delight of the affections, is evident from the signification of blessedness and from the signification of the daughters will call me blessed. That blessedness in the supreme sense is eternity cannot be seen except from the correspondence with the things in man. For things that are divine or that are infinite are not apprehended except from finite things of which man can form some idea. Without an idea derived from finite things, and especially an idea from the things of space and time, man can comprehend nothing of divine things and still less of the infinite. Without an idea of space and time, man cannot have any thought at all, number 3404. For in respect to his body, he is in time. And thus in respect to his thoughts, which are from the external senses. Whereas the angels, not being in time and space, have ideas of state, and therefore spaces and times in the word signify states. See number 1274, 1382, 2625, 2788, 28, 37, 32, 54, 33, 56, 38, 27. There are two states, namely, a state that corresponds to space and a state that corresponds to time. The state that corresponds to space is a state as to being, and the state that corresponds to time is a state as to coming forth. Number 2625. For there are two things that make man, namely, being and coming forth. Man's being is nothing else than a recipient of the eternal which proceeds from the Lord. For men, spirits, and angels are nothing but recipients, or forms recipient, of life from the Lord. The reception of life is that of which coming forth is predicated. Man believes that he is, and this of himself, when yet it is not true that he is of himself, but that as before said, he comes forth. Being is solely in the Lord, and is called Yahuwah. From being, which is Yahuwah, are all things which appear to be, Sekhut Sint. But the Lord's being, or Yahuwah, can never be communicated to anyone, but solely to the Lord's human. This was made the divine being, that is, Yahuwah. That the Lord is Yahuwah as to both the essences may be seen above number 1736, 2004, 2005, 2018, 2025, 2156, 23, 29, 29, 21, 30, 23, 30, 35. Coming forth also is predicated of the Lord, but only when he was in the world where he put on the divine. But since he has become the divine being, coming forth can no longer be predicated of him except as a something that proceeds from him. That which proceeds from him is that which appears as the coming forth in him, yet it is not in him but is from him, and causes men, spirits, and angels to come forth, that is, to live. In man, spirit, and angel, coming forth is living, and his living is eternal happiness. The happiness of eternal life is that to which in the supreme sense eternity, which is from the Lord's divine being, corresponds. That the happiness of eternal life is that which is signified by blessedness in the internal sense, and by the delight of the affections in the external sense, is manifest without explication. But that which is here signified is the delight of the affections of truth and good that corresponds to the happiness of eternal life. All affections have their delights, but such as are the affections, such are the delights. The affections of evil and falsity also have their delights, and before a man begins to be regenerated and to receive from the Lord the affections of truth and good, these delights appear to be the only ones, so much so that men believe that no other delights exist, and consequently that if they were deprived of these, they would utterly perish. But they who receive from the Lord the delights of the affections of truth and good gradually see and perceive the nature of the delights of their former life, which they had believed to be the only delights, that they are relatively vile and indeed filthy. And the further a man advances into the delight of the affections of truth and good, the more does he begin to regard the delights of evil and falsity as vile, and at last to hold them in aversion. I have sometimes spoken with those in the other life who had been in the delights of evil and falsity, and I had been permitted to tell them that they have no life until they are deprived of their delights. But they said, as say such persons in the world, that if they should be deprived of them, nothing of life would be left them. But I was permitted to reply that life then first begins, together with such happiness as there is in heaven, which in comparison with that of their former delights is unutterable. But this they could not apprehend, because what is unknown is believed to be nothing. It is the same with all in the world who are in the love of self and of the world, and therefore in no charity. They know the delight of these loves, but not the delight of charity. Thus they are altogether ignorant of what charity is, and still more that there is any delight in charity, when yet the delight of charity is that which fills the universal heaven, and constitutes the blessedness and happiness there. And if you will to believe it, it constitutes the intelligence and wisdom also, together with their delights. For into the delights of charity the Lord inflows with the light of truth and the flame of good, and with a derivative intelligence and wisdom. But falsities and evils reject, suffocate, and pervert these delights, and hence come folly and insanity. From all this it is evident what is the nature and quality of the delight of the affections, and that it corresponds to the happiness of eternal life. The man of this age believes that if at the hour of death he merely has the confidence of faith, he can get into heaven no matter in what affection he may have lived during the whole course of his life. I have sometimes spoken with those who have so lived and have so believed. When they come into the other life, they at first have no other idea than that they may enter into heaven, without any regard to their past life, in which they had put on the delight of the affection of evil and falsity from the loves of self and of the world, which had been their ends. I have been permitted to tell them that everyone can be admitted into heaven because heaven is denied by the Lord to no one, but whether they can live there, they can know when admitted. But as the life there is that of love to the Lord and of love toward the neighbor, which constitutes all the sphere and happiness of the life there, on coming into it they began to be distressed, not being able to breathe in such a sphere, and they then began to perceive the filthiness of their affections, thus to feel infernal torment. In consequence of this, they cast themselves headlong down, saying that they desired to be far away, and marveling that that was heaven, which to them was hell. This shows what is the nature of the one delight, and what is that of the other, and that they who are in the delight of the affections of evil and falsity can by no means be among those who are in the delight of the affection of good and truth, and that these delights are opposite to each other, as are heaven and hell. See number 537 to 539, 541, 547, 1397, 1398, 2130, 2401. Furthermore, as regards the happiness of eternal life, during his life in the world, the man who is in the affection of good and truth cannot perceive it, but a certain delight in its stead. The reason of this is that while in the body, he is in worldly cares and consequent anxieties that prevent the happiness of eternal life, which is deep within him, from then being manifested in any other way. For when this happiness inflows from within into the cares and anxieties that are with the man outwardly, it sinks down among the cares and anxieties there and becomes a kind of obscure delight. But still it is a delight within which there is blessedness, and within this happiness. Such is the happiness of being content in God. But when a man is divested of his body, and at the same time of these worldly cares and anxieties, the happiness which had lain hidden in obscurity within his interior man comes forth and reveals itself. As affection is so often spoken of, let us state what is meant by affection. Affection is nothing else than love, but is what is continuous of it. For from love a man is affected either with evil and falsity, or with good and truth. As this love is present, and is within all things in general and particular that belong to him, it is not perceived as love, but is varied according to its matter in hand, and according to the man's states and their changes, and this continually in everything that he wills, thinks, and does. It is this continuous of love that is called affection, and it is this continuous that reigns in a man's life and makes all his delight, and consequently his very life. For man's life is nothing else than the delight of his affection, and thus is nothing else than the affection of his love. Love is man's willing, and derivatively is his thinking, and thereby his acting. 3939. And she called his name Asher. That this signifies its quality is evident from the signification of calling a name as being quality, as above. The quality itself is that which Asher represents. Asher in the original language means blessedness, but the name involves all that is signified by the words of his mother Leah, "In my blessedness, for the daughters will call me blessed." Namely, the delight of the affections which corresponds to the happiness of eternal life. This is the fourth general principle that conjoins the external man with the internal, for when a man perceives this corresponding delight within himself, his external man is then beginning to be conjoined with his internal man. It is the delights of the affections of truth and good that conjoin them. For without the delights of the affections, nothing is conjoined, because the man's life is in them. That all conjunction is through the affections, see number 3024, 3066, 3336, 3849, 3909. By the daughters who call her blessed are signified churches, and that in the internal sense of the word daughters signify churches, see number 2362. This was said by Leah because by the births from the handmaids are signified the general truths which are the means that are of service for conjunction, to the intent that the church may come forth in the man. For when a man perceives this delight or affection, he is beginning to become a church, And this being the case, this is said of the fourth or last son of the handmaids. Asher is often named in the word, but by him, as well as by the other sons, is signified the quality then treated of, that is, the quality of those in that state which is the subject there treated of. And the quality is also according to the order in which the sons are named, being of one kind when the order begins with Reuben, or faith, of another when it begins with Judah, or celestial love, and of another when with Joseph, or spiritual love. For the essence and quality of that which is first is derived and passes on into the things which follow. This is the ground of their varying significations in the places where they are named. Here, where their birth is treated of, the general principles of the church are signified by them, and consequently all things of faith and love that make the church, and this for the reason that in what goes before, the regeneration of man is treated of, or man's states before he becomes a church, and in the supreme sense the Lord, how he made his human divine. And thus the ascent of the ladder which was seen by Jacob in Bethel, even to Yahuwah. 3940, verses 14 to 16. And Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest, and found Dudaim in the field, and brought them unto Leah his mother. And Rachel said to Leah, Give me, I pray, of thy sons Dudaim. And she said unto her, Is it a small matter that thou hast taken away my man, and wouldest thou take also my sons Dudaim? And Rachel said, Therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for thy sons Dudaim. And Jacob came from the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, Thou must come to me, for hiring I have hired thee with my sons Dudaim. And he lay with her that night. And Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest, signifies faith as regards its state of love and charity, and found Dudaim in the field, signifies the things that belong to conjugal love in the truth and good of charity and love, and brought them unto Leah his mother, signifies application to the affection of external truth. And Rachel said to Leah, signifies the perception of the affection of interior truth and a longing for it. Give me, I pray, of thy sons Dudaim, signifies of the things that belong to conjugal love, with which it might be mutually and alternately conjoined. And she said unto her, Is it a small matter that thou hast taken away my man? Signifies that there is conjugal desire. And wouldest thou take also my sons Dudaim? Signifies that thus there would be withdrawn the conjugal relation of natural good with external truth. And Rachel said, signifies consent. Therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for thy sons Dudaim, signifies that there should be conjunction. And Jacob came from the field in the evening, signifies the good of truth in a state of good, but in obscurity such as belongs to the natural. And Leah went out to meet him, signifies a longing on the part of the affection of external truth, and said, Thou must come to me, signifies that it should be conjoined therewith. For hiring I have hired thee with my sons Dudaim, signifies that it was promised from forethought. And he lay with her that night, signifies conjunction. 3941. And Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest. That this signifies faith as regards its state of love and charity is evident from the representation of Reuben as being the faith which is the first thing of regeneration, see number 3861, 3866, and from the signification of days as being states, number 23, 487, 488, 493, 893, 2788, 3462, 3785. And from the signification of wheat as being love and charity, to be explained in what follows. Hence, wheat harvest is an advancing state of love and charity. The means of the conjunction of the external man with the internal have been described under the representation of the four sons of Jacob by the handmaids, and the subject now treated of is the conjunction of good and truth by means of the rest of the sons, and therefore the Dudaim are first spoken of, by which this conjunction or conjugal relation is signified. The reason why a wheat harvest signifies an advancing state of love and charity is that a field signifies the church, and thus the things of the church, and the seeds sown in the field signify the things of good and truth. And the plants born from them, such as wheat, barley, and other grains, signify the things of love and charity, and also of faith. The states of the church in regard to these things are therefore compared to seed time and harvest, and are so called, as in Genesis 8, verse 22, number 932. That wheat denotes the things of love and charity may also be seen from the following passages. In Moses, Yahuwah maketh him to ride on the high places of the earth, and feedeth him with the increase of the fields, and maketh him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of the herd and milk of the flock, with the fat of lambs and of rams, the sons of Bashan and of he-goats, with the fat of the kidneys of wheat, and thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. Deuteronomy 32, verses 13 and 14. Here in the internal sense, the subject treated of is the ancient church and its state when it was set up. And all the things of love and charity and all the things of faith that were in it are described by significatives. The fat of the kidneys of wheat is the celestial of love and charity. And as fat or fatness signifies the celestial, number 353, and wheat, love, they are frequently joined together in the word, as also in David. Oh, that my people were obedient to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. He should feed them with the fat of wheat, and with honey out of the rock would I satisfy thee. Psalm 71, verses 13 and 16. And again in the same, Yehovah, he maketh thy border peace, and filleth thee with the fat of wheat. Psalm 147, verse 14. That wheat is love and charity may be seen in Jeremiah. Many shepherds have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden down the portion of my field. They have made the portion of my field a desert of solitude. Wasters are come upon all the hills in the desert, for the sword of Yahuwah devoureth from one end of the land even to the other end of the land. No flesh hath peace. They have sown wheat and have reaped thorns. 12, verses 10, 12, and 13. Vineyard and field denote the church, the desert of solitude its vastation. The sword that devoureth, the vastation of truth, no peace, no good that effects. Sowing wheat, the goods of love and charity. Reaping thorns, the evils and falsities of the love of self and of the world. That a vineyard is the spiritual church may be seen above, number 1069, and that a field is the church as to good, number 2971. That a desert is vastation, number 1927-2708. That a devouring sword is the vastation of truth, number 2799. And that peace is good that effects, number 3780. In Joel, the field is wasted, the ground mourneth, for the corn is wasted, the new wine is dried up, the oil languisheth. The husbandmen were ashamed, the vine dressers have howled, for the wheat and for the barley, for the harvest of the field is perished. Gird yourselves and lament, ye priests. Howl, ye ministers of the altar. 1 verses 10, 11, and 13. Everyone sees that the state of the vastated church is that which is here described. Thus that field and ground are the church, the corn, frumentum, its good, and the new wine, its truth. Number 3580. And that the wheat is celestial love, and the barley, spiritual love. And as the state of the church is treated of, it is said, Gird yourselves and lament, ye priests. Howl, ye ministers of the altar. In Ezekiel, the Spirit of Yahuwah said to the prophet, Take unto thee wheat and barley, and beans and lentils, and millet and spelt, and put them into one vessel, and make thee bread thereof. With the ordure of man's dung shalt thou make a cake before their eyes. Thus shall the sons of Israel eat their bread unclean. 4 verses 9, 12, and 13, where the profanation of good and truth is treated of. The wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet, and spelt denote the kinds of good and its derivative truth. The bread or cake made thereof with the ordure of human dung denotes the profanation of all of them. In John, I saw and behold a black horse, and he that sat thereon had a balance in his hand. And I heard a voice from the midst of the four living creatures saying, A measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny, and hurt thou not the oil and the wine. Revelation 6, verses 5 and 6, where the vastation of good and truth is treated of. A measure of wheat for a penny, denoting the scarcity of love, and 3 measures of barley for a penny, the scarcity of charity. In Ezekiel, Judah and the land of Israel were thy merchants. With wheat of Minnith and Panag, and honey and oil and balsam, they made thy tradings. 27 verse 17, where the subject is Tyre, by which are signified the cognitions of good and truth. The goods of love and charity and their happiness are the wheat of Minnith and Panag and honey and oil and balsam. Judah is the celestial church and the land of Israel the spiritual church from which those things are. Tradings are acquisitions. In Moses, a land of wheat and barley, a land of vine and fig tree and pomegranate, a land of olive, of oil and of honey. Deuteronomy 8, verse 8. Describing the land of Canaan, which in the internal sense is the Lord's kingdom. Number 1413, 1437, 1585, 1607, 3038, 3705. The goods of love and charity are signified by the wheat and barley, and the goods of faith by the vine and the fig tree. In Matthew, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. 3, verse 12. John the Baptist thus speaks of the Lord. The wheat denotes the good of love and charity, the chaff that in which there is nothing of good. In the same, let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. 13, verse 30. The tares denote evils and falsities, and the wheat, goods. They are comparisons, but the comparisons in the word are all made by means of significatives. 3942. And found Dudaim in the field. That this signifies the things of conjugal love and the truth and good of charity and love, is evident from the signification of Dudaim as being the things that belong to conjugal love, concerning which and what follows, and from the signification of the field as being the church, and consequently the truth of faith and good of charity, because these make the church. Number 368, 2971, 3196, 3310, 3500, 3508, 3766. What the Dudaim were, the translators do not know. They suppose them to have been fruits or flowers, to which they give names according to their several opinions. But of what kind they were, it does not concern us to know, but merely the fact that among the ancients who were of the church, all fruits and flowers were significative, for they knew that universal nature is a theater representative of the Lord's kingdom, number 3483, and that all the things in its 3 kingdoms are representative, and that each thing represents some specific thing in the spiritual world, and therefore also each fruit and flower. And that by the Dudaim there is signified the conjugal of good and truth may be seen from the series of things here in the internal sense, as well as from the derivation of that word in the original language. For it is derived from the word Dudim, which means loves, and conjunction by means of them. That Dudaim comes from this, and that it signifies that which is conjugal, is evident from the following words. In the morning we will arise to the vineyards. We will see whether the vine hath blossomed and hath put forth the grape, whether the pomegranates have put forth flowers. There I will give thee my loves, Dudim. The Dudaim hath given forth a scent. Song of Solomon, 7 verses 12 and 13. All this shows what is signified by the Dudaim. As regards the book in which this passage is found, and which is called the Song, it is not among those called Moses and the Prophets, because it has not the internal sense, but it was written in the ancient style, and is full of significatives collected from the books of the ancient church,
and of many things which in the ancient church signified celestial and spiritual love, and especially conjugal love. That this is the nature of that book is also evident from the fact that in its literal sense are many things not decorous, which is not the case with the books called Moses and the Prophets. But as within it there have been collected together such things as are significative of celestial and of conjugal love, it appears as if it possessed a certain mystic meaning. From this signification of the Dudaim, we can now see that by Reuben found them in the field, there is signified the conjugal that is in the truth and good of love and charity, that is to say, that which can be conjoined. For in the spiritual sense, the conjugal principle is nothing else than that truth which can be conjoined with good, and that good which can be conjoined with truth. From this also comes all conjugal love, number 27, 28, 27, 29, 31, 32. And therefore genuine conjugal love is not possible except with those who are in good and truth, and thus are together in the celestial marriage. 3943, and brought them unto Leah his mother. That this signifies application to the affection of external truth is evident from the signification of bringing as here being application, and from the representation of Leah as being the affection of external truth. See number 3793, 3819. 3944. And Rachel said to Leah, that this signifies the perception of the affection of interior truth and a longing for it is evident from the signification of saying as being to perceive. See number 1898, 1919, 2080, 2619, 2862, 3395, 3509. And from the representation of Rachel as being the affection of interior truth. Number 3758, 3782, 3793, 3819. That the signification is the affection of and the longing for this truth is also evident from what presently follows. For Rachel says, give me, I pray, of thy son's Dudaim. 3945. Give me, I pray, of thy son's Dudaim. That this signifies the affection of and longing for the things of conjugal love, with which it might be mutually and alternately conjoined, is evident from the signification of the Dudaim as being the things of conjugal love. Number 3942. That the signification is affection and longing is also evident, number 3944. That conjugal love is conjunction mutually and alternately may be seen above, number 2731.